Grace and peace be to you from God our Heavenly Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Growing up on a small farm in Northwest Ohio, in high school, I majored in vocational agriculture. I had no other idea what else I would do, so I guessed I would be a farmer. And so I studied vocational agriculture as part of the classes. About that time, in the mid-60s, the late-60s, something kind of new was coming into vogue. It was soil testing. Soil testing. Before, there was this idea that soil needed various nutrients added to it or increased in order to give the best crops, but it was a little more vague. So you just threw down some 12-12-12 or something like that. Those numbers indicating the three major minerals, I guess, would they be called minerals? I don't know. Nutrients that crops would use. One was nitrogen. One, I believe, was potassium. And the third one, potash. If I have that wrong, you can correct me either now or later. I don't care, okay? But if I remember right, that's what those numbers stood for, okay? But soil testing allowed, since each farm and each field could be different and have different gradations of soil, and even different parts of a field, the low part might be more clay and the high part might be more loam. You could test the soil and know what was already in it. And because of our Purdue University and Ohio State and other, other agricultural colleges at the time, we knew what soybeans needed, how much, and what corn needed, and what wheat needed. Okay? With corn takes a lot of nitrogen out of the soil. So you want to put a lot of nitrogen into the soil first so it has what it needs to really grow, shoot up there and get real green. Soybeans, however, put nitrogen back into the soil. They're a legume. They put nitrogen back into the soil. And so that's why you also have crop rotation. After corn, taking a lot of nitrogen out, you plant soybeans, which puts nitrogen back in, all good for the soil. Soil testing could tell you exactly how much in each area, and so you could put the right fertilizer on your land and get the best crops. Right. Today, the parable gives us an opportunity to do a little spiritual soil test with ourselves, to see what's going on and what chance the word has to grow and increase and become fruitful in our lives. He talks about four types of soil. The first one, I pray no one sitting here today has. And that's a hard-packed soil where people have walked for years and it's almost like cement, all packed down and dry, no chance for anything to penetrate. When seed fell on that soil, it had nothing to do. It could not penetrate. It could not be cushioned and be enveloped by the soil and get moisture and all that. It would just lay there, and the birds come and take it away. God forbid that be the soil of our hearts and minds this morning or at any time. But I admit, I warn you, that every one of us could have this type of soil in our hearts when we hear God's word at any time. Even after years of hearing it and sitting and coming and even devotions or having someone else our mind wanders and we don't really care that day. I find myself doing that on occasion. Not while I'm here at St. John, though. I'm very good here, okay? Just to let you know. But it does happen. And it does no good that day or that moment. And the devil comes, as Jesus says, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown. So that day there is no further crop planted. It says here that person is someone who hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it. Now we know from Scripture, we know from studying God's word, and we state in our confessions that no one can understand God's word without God himself preparing the way through the Holy Spirit. So one way to guard against this is each time you come before God's word, each time when you come into church, each time when you begin your Bible study, your Bible reading, each time you listen to or have your own devotion, say a quick silent prayer or out loud that God the Father and God the Son would send God the Holy Spirit into your heart at that moment to stir up the soil, to receive what God wants you to hear and to receive that day. The Holy Spirit is the key to understanding God's Word. In fact, God, the Holy Spirit, is present wherever God's Word is. But we need to also receive that Holy Spirit and not fight Him when he comes. Second type of soil talked about today is that which is sown on rocky ground. This is one who hears the word, immediately receives it with joy. Yeah, that's great. I've seen this. I think you have too. People who come to church for the first time, or you witness to them or whatever, and they get all excited and this is wonderful and all that, and it's kind of like a fire that burns too bright. You almost are concerned when I see too much enthusiasm a little bit, because I'm worried about this part. They receive it with joy. And yet, they would also receive with joy those wonderful commercials on TV that tell you that this is the answer to all your problems. And just send in 1995, but wait, there's more. There's two for that, and we'll even throw in the shipping. You know, it's someone who often does not have a real sense of self or root in themselves. Jesus talks about that. The one who hears the word immediately receives it with joy, yet has no root in himself, but endures for a while. But when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately falls away. No substance, no lasting, no really grasping. This is what I need for right now. This is going to solve all my problems. And then when problems come, oh, that doesn't work. Oh, I better go back to what I was doing. Or, oh, there's something new over here. It's so sad to see that. When you know that's happening, and it's so sad to witness that happening and someone falling away because of that. And yet it happens. And that type of soil can be in your and my heart too on occasion. We need to watch out for that. The rocky ground that doesn't allow penetration. Good for today, and then Monday we go back to work and our same old stuff. No lasting impression, no fruit. Church is church and work is work, and never the twain shall meet. We guard against that. Then we have another type, a thorny group of soil, some soil that's thorny. things haven't been cleared out. As for what was sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. Again, every one of us is subject to this all the time. We are in the world. We are not of the world, at least that's the intent by God. That the word teaches us and changes us to look at the world differently, to look at life differently, to have a whole different world view. But we get caught back up in it sometimes, especially when things are going very well in our work life, in our secular work lives, and we're getting adulation and praise, and there's a chance for a raise or a promotion, and all that. I've been caught in that myself. I'm a second career pastor. I know what the business world is like and what they value and what I valued at times. The cares of the world, how family and job and having possessions can pull at you and just take so much time. You know, you got that boat and you got that cottage on the lake. Well, you got to go up there and take care of it, and weekends is the only time, and you know, it's just not time for church and all that good stuff. You know, the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches. If a farmer does not control the weeds in his field, the weeds grow up. You know, they like all that nutrients down there too, especially the new stuff you added. Oh, that tastes pretty good. Okay? And they grow up bigger and stronger. And they compete for that 12-12-12 or whatever you put down. And they compete for the water that's there. And they compete for the sunlight. And they spread their big branches. I was just reading an article in the paper, I think it was yesterday, about pigweed. Pigweed. We had pigweed back on the farm. Or was that a friend of mine, pigweed? No, that was out in the field. And that stuff just gets, and it has real broad leaves, and it grows 2-3 inches a day. And then it has thousands of seed pods, you know, seeds inside its seed pods. And you got to get rid of that stuff, and you got to get rid of it early. Because it'll just destroy your crop. It'll reduce the yield. Significantly, by 50% if it goes wild. Used to be we'd be out there in the rows of beans and corn with our little hose and our little sickle blades on the end of a pipe, and we'd be doing that in the hot sun. That was the summer work. Okay? I hated it. Still do. Okay? That was the only way, manually. And then they come along with all these chemicals these days, and you know, those big companies, Eli Lilly and Monsanto and Pfizer and whoever else is out there. And they've developed all these chemicals that kill weeds. And they got real good at it. At first, they'd had chemicals that would kill broadleaf weeds and leave grasses alone. And that was great for the corn because pigweed is a broadleaf. Corn is a grass. So it would kill the pigweed but leave the corn alone. And that was great, but it didn't work on soybeans. They didn't have anything for soybeans for quite some time because soybeans are broadleaf, and that same chemical would kill the soybeans. So you only apply that about once on soybeans, and you learn. But now they've got it to where it can specifically target types of plants. And so it's all about that these days, and very little mechanical tilling, plowing, what's the word I'm looking for? I don't know what it is. Harrowing, I don't know. Anyway, we need to watch out for that in our own lives. The deceitfulness of riches creeps back into our lives so often, certainly does mine. I pretty well got rid of it when I became a pastor, so that helped me, because there's no money in this work. But anyway, the cares of the world. We've got to watch out for that. Even if we don't get rich or want to get rich, getting things. You know, things take up your time. Things take attention. Things need to be maintained. Things got to be parked someplace. Things got to be moved when you get something else. Things can just eat you up. And that can choke out the Word of God. It can choke out the Word of God and put your attention someplace else. And then there's the good soil. As for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands that he indeed bears fruit and yields in one case 100-fold, 60-fold, 30-fold. When we pray that the Holy Spirit would come and enter our hearts and our minds as we prepare to hear God's word, to read it, to contemplate it, just as we think about it, the Holy Spirit has great farming tools. He can stir up that soil. He can get rid of the rocks. He can kill the weeds, throw them out. He can even turn a hard-packed path into soil that can receive. The Holy Spirit can help us to understand that God's word is good, that while we learn we are sinners and need help, God then provides the help, provides the answer in sending His Son, Jesus Christ. We had a beautiful, beautiful song by these four young ladies a little bit ago, the beautiful name of Jesus. My sin is great, but His love is greater. We learn that. We learn that God cares about us so much, His crop, that He plants. Not 12, 12, 12, but 100, 100, 100, whatever we need, if we will simply allow Him to receive, to give us and receive what He gives and not fight it. By the power of the Holy Spirit, understanding of God's Word comes. And I guarantee you, from personal experience, that understanding gets deeper and deeper and deeper the more we are in the Word, the more the Holy Spirit works in us. The same passage, the same passages that I read in grade school still contain more meaning than I can comprehend today, but I get more out of it today than I ever did. That's the Holy Spirit opening our hearts and our minds to what God has in store. And again, my friends, it's good. That's why it's called gospel. Good news. God's love in Jesus Christ is so great. Who wouldn't want that growing in their lives? I want to close in prayer. Heavenly Father, send Your Holy Spirit to us. Send Him today to help to understand Your Word and to receive it, to have it grow in our hearts and our minds and our lives. Send Him always. By holy baptism, the Holy Spirit lives in each one of us. Help us to keep the lines of communication open, to hear Him when He works through God's Word, to not fight, to not harden our hearts, but to let Him do His work. We will be so blessed for it. I praise You for what He's done in the lives here today and what He will continue to do. All glory be to You. In Jesus' name, amen.